Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, people? It is Black People Business Wednesday on Thursday, and this is your host, Stacey F., as in fantastic, goddamn, Johnson with the bad phone. Uh-oh, we got to fix the phone. Shouldn't have moved. You know the phone is raggedy. We use it too much to make money, so when I ain't making money, it's on fire. Here we go. This is Black People Business Wednesday on Thursday, and your host, the fantastic Stacey F. Johnson, and today. And today and on Wednesdays, we talk about civil rights. And nothing I love better because I'm Black. And it appears that civil rights was made for me because I got those things before I was born. 1964, I will be 50 this year. And this is a very important year for me. Every year is important. Every year I'm alive is important. So on Wednesdays, we talk about civil rights. Couldn't do it yesterday because normally I schedule a show at 8 o'clock at night. And because I have a business that I take very seriously, I'll get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I do my thing, I work until 6 o'clock at night. And why I think I can just hang out until after 8 and do this, I don't know. So now from this point on, we're going to schedule it about 3 o'clock on Wednesdays because this old lady needs her beauty rest. That's how I'm so beautiful. So today we're talking about civil rights. We're talking about the Poor People's Campaign, basically. And that was the next thing, and I know, you know, we don't know, and we as Black people, we're the only race of people that don't consciously take it upon ourselves to study our history. And because we don't, we still getting dogs on us and fucking, what's that, tear gas in 2014. Because we don't take ourselves seriously. We don't take our family seriously. We don't take our culture seriously. We don't take our leaders seriously because we don't have any. Ha-ha. We don't take ourselves seriously. We don't take our lives seriously. There are a group of Black people that, yes, they get over by stealing. Okay, yeah, there are them people out there. But there's a group of white people that get over by stealing. There's a group of Mexicans that get over by stealing. But those aren't the ones on TV all the time. So when I was a young child, raised by I liked my parents because they were good parents. And if nothing else, if education was always first, no, God was always first. Education was second, but self-respect was always third. and you walked like you had it, you talked like you had it, you lived like you had it. I know a group of people today walking, talking, living, partying up, zero self-respect and don't even know it. That reflects on all the rest of us. That's the world sees you and they think it's me. They see you acting ghetto, they think that's me. I got to go out there with my non-ghetto self. And I can get ghetto when I have to because I'm usually ghetto when I'm dealing with you. So when I'm by myself, I take my non-ghetto self out there and I walk and I talk and I act like Mr. and Mrs. Johnson raised me to do so. We as black people, we don't take ourselves seriously. Oh, rap, that's about our life. We live, that's our life. That's what we singing about. Well, nigga, I take a shit every morning on the toilet, but I didn't write a song every morning and sing to everybody about it. That was my life. Just because your life is shitty, you don't need to sing about shittiness. How about making it different and singing about how you want it to be different? At some point in the 80s, black people accepted their position in life as some a bunch of thugs and a bunch of scary group of motherfuckers, that people that are in charge of this country just call it's war on black people. So you could call it crack, okay? That's war on black people because we don't have no leadership. We ain't got nobody out there. But see, I did, and that's why I talk, because I ain't going to give up on my grandson and my two sons who, thank God, doing good, because I never gave up on them. I just didn't say, well, this is how it is. I didn't say, well, come on, you Remont, you going to live with me, because my marriage didn't work. So I'm going to bring Remont in the house with all his bad-ass activity and show my son what's not supposed to be. See, I could have stayed with my husband, too, and my sons could have grew up with a whole bunch of bullshit. But no, I did what was good for my family. We don't care about ourselves. We care about appearances. We care, oh, we need a man. And like my homegirl said, some chicks just need a man. They don't care as long as he's breathing. Some of us are like that. Some of us raise our kids in households like that. So I'm very depressed today because I had to cut ties with someone who's like that. I had to cut ties with someone today who everything's good. Everything's good. Everything good. No. You know, and if I'm your real friend, I can't just sit up and say, oh, girl, Shaquanda back over there, girl. Oh, I know y'all partying, and I know you don't like it. I'd be just as fake as the motherfuckers that's in your house. But I got to cut ties with that because I know how I was raised. I know how the world sees us, and I'm not contributing to that mess. That's a mess. When you do for someone what they can do for themselves, you don't help them. That's why I don't have two mama's boys today, because I'm not going to do for them what they could do for themselves. That's why when my daughter decided to be a mommy, okay, she didn't do it in my house, and she handled her business like a woman's supposed to when she makes a decision for herself. She ain't hiding out. She handling her business. So we as black people, we don't respect ourselves. We don't respect our children. We don't respect our parents. We don't respect God. And I'm not saying as a whole, but there's a large number of us out there because the way we are individually, you add that up, all add that up, and that's how we are collectively. So look at us as black people collect. Look how the world, this America, we have a black president. It ain't been no worse for us ever. Because collectively, we ain't shit. Okay? So today on Black People Business Wednesday, we talking about the last man who had a heart for you was Martin Luther King. And in 1968, he had the Poor People's Campaign. That was coming up next in early 1968. Dr. King and other civil rights leaders, they planned the Poor People's Campaign in Washington, D.C. for the spring. Their plan was to ask Lyndon Johnson and Congress to help poor people get jobs, get health care, and decent homes. Kind of the same shit we need right now. Health care is covered, but they're trying to kill that. Jobs, most people unemployment, non-black people's unemployment, 7%. ours for 28%. Black women, 54%. White women, 11%. See, nobody's going to do that, nothing about that, because we're not doing nothing about that. The only thing we'll do something about is some bullshit we see on TV. Yeah, we going to front, but we don't have shit. To be nigger rich, that's what we concerned about these days. As long as we look like we got it, we got it. Back in 1968, Dr. King said, look, we need some real shit out there. Okay, they intended for it to be a peaceful gathering of poor people across the country. They march to the Capitol. They go to various federal agencies in the hopes of getting somebody's attention, much like the sit-ins where Wall Street did a couple of years back. But, of course, as you probably don't even know when, but before this happened, Dr. King was assassinated. So Jesse Jackson, a bunch of other leaders, said we're going to do it anyway. And they did it anyway. And they marched May 12th, and that was about it, right, during the march. So after the march, they set up Resurrection City. Okay. Resurrection City was all the poor people setting up demonstrators. They were setting up encampments, and they wanted to show what it looks like when poor people are together. So, and, of course, Dr. King was killed. Resurrection City, people were there. And while they were still in Resurrection City, Robert Kennedy was killed. So not only Dr. King was killed, Robert Kennedy was killed, and Jesse Jackson said, I'm not finna be next. So that's pretty much it. So we left it to the church to handle the problem of black people after the 60s. And they did a wonderful job, as we can all see. What I'm asking today, we have the NAACP, we have the Urban League, we have the Black Congressional Congress. Their jobs are for to look out for our civil rights, to make sure economic issues are addressed, that we're, you know, reaching some point of equality at some point while we're alive in America. But last report out of Princeton says that as of today, as of September 11th, 2014, it will take our black children 100 years of getting A's before they'll catch up with the white kid of today. And the only way we're going to have racial equality in America is if academically we're equal. So stop telling your kids you hate math, so he has to hate math. Stop. Take your kids to the damn library, turn off the TV, read to them, cut off the video game. This is Black People Business Wednesday on Thursday. And what I'd like to know is why haven't, or hasn't, plural, the NAACP, Urban League, Black Congressional Congress taken up the efforts of what Dr. King was trying to do in 1968? Why not? We know it still needs to be done. That's what I'm saying. You know, it's like, why even do this show? Don't nobody care about shit. You know, you let people walk all over you as a person. We let people walk all over us as a community. We don't do nothing about it. So, but if you got kids and you care, and, you know, we have to do something about it. So, coming up, I want to tell you guys all about Clyde Kinnard. Oh, if I can get my phone right. Clyde Kinnard was a black man in the 20s, 30s, 40s, something like that. I'll have it in front of me in a minute. In Mississippi. He lived in Chicago at the time, where black people were a little more free at the time, and had to come back to Mississippi to help his mom. Come on, phone. There you go. Had to come back to Mississippi because his mama was sick. And he had to help his mom, but he was a college student in Chicago. And when he came back to Mississippi, he tried to apply to the University of Mississippi. He was kind of something else at that time. And, of course, during that time, racial segregation was at its height. I'll read some passages from this report where they say even the NAACP wasn't even going to Mississippi to try to recruit nobody, okay? Because white folks had it, Mississippi locked down. But this young brother, because he had a heart and knew that who his I am was, he knew who he was, you know? Thank God. I'd be one of them. Because ain't nobody going to tell me what I'm going to do, say, think, or act in a country where my people die to make it what it is. Ain't nobody going to tell me that. And that's what he did, try to go to college, basically, and a whole bunch of bullshit ensued. So we're going to start today, and we're going to end next week, and we're going to take a break. And this is Black People Business Wednesday. Thursday, when my heart's pretty heavy because, you know, take your damn life serious. Because if you don't, ain't nobody going to. Shit. Let's take a break. I shall return. This is Black People Business Wednesday on Thursday, and this is your host, Stacey F. Johnson. And I am Jesse, Freddie, and Chris's mom, the director of Association of African American Single Mothers at AAASM.org. And, you know, speaking of that, I need to speak of that. What I try to do is help single mothers across this country. A couple of programs, Women's Self-Awareness Program. Get self-aware. Quit letting people walk all over your ass, especially if you got kids. Okay? When they 18, go have fun. Up until then, act like you got some damn sense. That's what that's all about. Boys to Men Project. We not raising no bitch men. And yes, a woman can raise a man. Whoever told you that was ignorant. Okay? All right, that's that one. And what else we doing? Boys to Men, Women's Self Awareness Program. I just got so many things. And math tutoring. You know, I love math. My mom made sure I loved everything technical. So, you know, if your kid needs help in math, I can help them online. So email me at director@aaasm.org. And as soon as I can get five other people that take being black serious, we're going to get together and we're going to try to help kids. That's what my business is all about. Now that I don't have to raise my kids no more, they're raising and feeding and clothing themselves, I can take all my money and put it towards moms that need my help, that real about what they want to do with themselves, people that want to start businesses. That's what I want to really spend my money on. Interning some people on the construction industry that I work on. And if you want to start your business, I'm going to help you write a business plan, but you got to be serious. I'm not going to start your business and work your business while you sit on your ass. That's not how it works. So today on Black People Business, Wednesday, on Thursday, I love black people. My parents taught me to have a love of myself, of my blackness, and of my strength. And that if I do all of that, and I believe that there's a God that will support me in everything I do will succeed. And so I live my life that way. I didn't settle for less, got married, and I settled for less. I married less, but I didn't settle for less. So I raised my kids by myself. And it was an experience. But you don't have to just because you ain't with the dude. You know, you ain't got to raise them by yourself. But my dude didn't want to help because he wasn't looking to be nobody's little husband. Yeah, he was looking to be a wife, but I didn't need one at that time. But black people, get your shit together. Get your family together. Get your giving together. Get your church together. Get your idea about money together. Get your idea about Christ together. Okay? Now, Clyde Kinnard. If you look him up, there was a resurgence of his case because basically when he tried to go to school and apply at Mississippi University or whatever it is, the authorities were so put off by him that they trumped up charges. He was arrested. You know how they do. And he basically went to jail for something he didn't do. And while in jail, he died. They wouldn't even let him out of jail when they knew he had cancer. They barely did, and he died. And the only thing he did wrong was try to go to college. So what I'm going to read is a little of the Journal of the History of Mississippi. And it is called The Saddest Story of the Whole Movement, The Clyde Kinnard Case and the Search for Racial Reconciliation in Mississippi from 1955 to 2007. 2007. He finally got pardoned on something he never did. In December 2005, the Jackson Clarion Ledger reporter, Jerry Mitchell, tracked down the key witness from a little-known trial that had occurred in Hattiesburg more than 45 years earlier in November 1960, the testimony of Johnny Lee Roberts. You know if his name Johnny Lee and you black, you finna be in trouble. Had provided the crucial evidence leading to the conviction of Clyde in a 33-year-old farmer who was trying to become the first African-American to attend Mississippi Southern College, now the University of Southern Mississippi. As an illiterate 19-year-old, Roberts had testified, now this is the guy against him, this is Johnny Lee, he illiterate, testified that he had planned the burglary of the Forestry County Co-op with Kinnard, who had claimed that he asked for some chicken feed on the side. For this crime, the former University of Chicago student, remember he was going to school in Chicago, left to go take care of his mother in country-ass Mississippi, okay, had received a maximum 7-year sentence in the Parchman Penitentiary, a sentence that prevented him from ever applying to any of Mississippi's all-white colleges again. However, Roberts informed Mitchell in 2005 that Kinnard had, quote, nothing to do with the stealing of the chicken feed, and that he had been arrested not because of the feed, but because he was trying to go to Southern. In his 65th year, Roberts had come clean because he had always felt he was 65 years old. In 2005, he finally felt bad about it, huh? Because you know he's getting ready to meet his damn maker. Always felt bad about what happened to Clyde. I felt bad. I felt so bad. Yeah, Clyde died. You imagine how Clyde felt 45 years ago. That's some shit, black people. I'm just going to stop it right there because I got 5 minutes to vent. You know, at some point when my mother and father conceived me sometime 9 months before December 16th, I got a heart. I was born with a heart, a big-ass heart. And then during the raising of me process, my parents introduced me to this awesome God that said if I just be good, he will always be there for me. And I believed that shit. And I believed it. And I believed it. And I believed it. And I believe it to this day. And I've gotten my heart broken so many times because I believe that. And so now, as a 50-year-old woman, I know where to go, and I know who to believe in, and I know how to believe. And I know as a black person, as a person born in 1964, just in time to be born with civil rights, I know I owe it to not only this man right here, you know, how many people get this kind of break? How many people get screwed like this involuntarily while you as a black person voluntarily let people screw you around when you can stand up for your rights but you sit and you get stomped on every day? This man had no choice back in 1945 and he died. You have a choice today. Stop looking for the next funeral. And get your lazy ass up. Go to some community center and be involved in something. Go to AASM.org and be involved in something. Be involved in something. If you can help one person not be like this brother in 1945, if you can help one sister wake her ass up, and maybe she'll raise her kids to be contributors of society instead of takers and just status quo, because that's all they think you are, is status quo niggas, because it's going to take you 100 years if you started today. If you started today getting A's on your report card, little Rima, you ain't going to live long enough to get racial equality. But if you start freaking today, little Rima, your grandson and great-grandson just might, because you'll put in him a spirit of, I have to have an education. I have to have an education in America in order to be half as good as these white folks that don't give a shit about me. Wow, that's the same shit my mama was saying back in 1970-something when she was beating it into the other 10 of them. And I was just sitting there listening. I have to have an education. I have to go to college. I don't give a shit if it's a boo-boo's college of the whatever. You better get a degree with your name on it, Negro. Nah, oh, I ain't going to college. I'm going to be a rapper. Of what? To do what? Sit on your mama's couch. Ain't nothing to rap about, nigga. So, it is always Black People Business Wednesday, whether it is Thursday, whether it is Friday, and tomorrow's Friday, have a good Friday, whether it is Saturday or Sunday on the diary, it is always Black People Business Wednesday until you get your shit together, because I ain't going to be here in 100 years, and I expect people to start getting their shit together before I pass away. Go. We'll talk about Mr. Kennard next Wednesday at 3 o'clock, Wednesday at 3, and please join me on the diary on Sunday at 1 p.m. No, 1:30. Know that I love you. I love black people. I love all people, but because I love black people, I got to do what I do. Have a wonderful rest of the week and peace and all of that.
We'll be right back.